Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Kevin Moore Show. I'm Kevin Moore, and it is a pleasure to be spending the next hour with you. Our opening musical selection was Promises, Promises, a wonderful song from the great composer Burt Bacharach. And that's what I have for all of you today, the promise that this next hour will be informative, interesting, provocative, and maybe even a little exciting. A promise that our discussions will give you something to think about today and hopefully something to talk about tomorrow. Or what I'd like to think of as a civilized hour of culture and conversation. Well, as I like to do to begin each of our shows, I like to read or share a recent poignant story or an especially interesting essay or some philosophical quotes or thoughts or sometimes even a little poetry that touches or speaks to us all. Well, happy fall. I should say happy Injun summer, because the weather's been beautiful, hasn't it? Leaves aren't changing yet, but pretty soon. But a little essay written by Rosina Masak from Chicago entitled The Perfect Time of Year for a Colorful Beginning. And she writes, so much can happen in autumn. If I have a choice, next time I'm going to have an October birthday. Well, I do. No hot summer breezes for my chosen natal day. No whistling winter winds to announce my coming. Next time my arrival will be in the midst of autumn on a surprisingly soft and sunny October day that is full of surprises. And I will be one of them. November wouldn't be a bad month to be born in. With little help, it could almost be as pleasant as October. But it's so iffy. By November, all the trees are stripped of the beautiful leaves that October worked so hard to paint. In December, I'll forget that one. A very memorable month, but much too cold. January and February are nice as months go, but the weather is still pretty unsettled. Neither the famous March winds nor April showers could tempt me. There isn't much sun and hardly any green on the trees or color in the garden yet. Better to wait a while. May is good, but so uncertain. Not at all very promising in the sunny day department. I agree that things might look like they are going to get better, but May is not sure of herself at all, and June has her own problems. There has been many a hot and humid week in June over the years, and I don't want to take a chance on arriving during a heat wave. No way July or August would get my vote. Heat, humidity, all that forced air conditioning, flies, mosquitoes, and just plain lazy, not able to do anything days are not my idea of a special birthday month. In September, the days get pleasant. It's the beginning of what I call the best time. Finally, the heat of summer is passing and familiar surroundings are slowly starting to become an artist's palette of jewel tones that begin to dazzle with beauty. October, well, she can seduce you with her charms. The harvest begins and the trees dress themselves in flame and gold. It is a month of joyful simplicities. The color is unbelievable, and no matter where you look, the world just seems to sparkle. The days are usually sunny and bright, but not glaringly so, and the nights are meant for open the window just a bit, sleeping. The days are a wee bit shorter, and the nights are darker. It's a time to light a fire, to take the chill out, and strike a match to the candles in the house that makes for comfort and coziness all around. Brew the good tea and bring out the Afghan, just in case. Turn the lights down low and settle in. If I have anything to say about it, next time, October and autumn, here I come. So a very colorful essay by Rosina Masak of Chicago. A perfect time of year for a colorful beginning. Excited about our first very special guest. We had his partner, Peter Yarrow, on the show a few months back, of course, from the great and iconic group Peter, Paul, and Mary. And we're going to be talking with Noel Paul Stuckey. I have no better way to introduce him than, I suppose, to play one of the great songs. And a tough one for me to play, because when I read it or have read it to my children and read it to my grandchildren and listen to the music, one of the lines, of course, is, dragons live forever, but not so little boys and girls. So very true. So let's start with the great hit by Peter, Paul, and Mary, Puff the Magic Dragon. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Puff and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Together they would travel on a boat with billowed sail. Jackie kept a lookout perched on Puff's gigantic tail. Noble kings and princes would bow whene'er they came. Pirate ships would lower their flags when Puff roared out his name. Oh, Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. A dragon lives forever, but not so little boys. Painted wings and giant's rings make way for other toys. One gray night it happened, Jackie Paper came no more. And Puff that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. His head was bent in sorrow, green scales fell like rain. Puff no longer went to play along the cherry lane. Without his lifelong friend, sadly slipped into his cave. Oh, Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called
Peter, Paul, and Mary, Puff the Magic Dragon, one of the classics. And we're back on The Kevin Moore Show. Well, I can't think of a better or more appropriate way to begin an introduction of my first special guest than using his own words from his composition, Facets of the Jewel. Noel writes, "And who's to say the universe is but a single thought contained within the mind of God? And who's to say it's not? If love is the lesson, then how's the teacher taught? Our lives are connected like pages in a book. The past is the present through which the future looks. Like leaves on a river, like ripples in a brook, our lives are connected." Well, one of the fun things about hosting my radio show is having the opportunity of making the acquaintance of some very interesting, talented, and fascinating people, and our guest is just such a person. He's a man who's spoken to us through his music for many years. We're all familiar with his songs because they've become standards that speak to each of us and just simply touch our hearts. Memorable songs like the one we just heard, Puff the Magic Dragon, his first big hits, Lemon Tree and If I Had a Hammer, folk classics like Day is Done, Dylan's Blown in the Wind and 500 Miles, and what many consider one of the music's most tender and touching love songs, Leaving on a Jet Plane. singer-songwriter Noel Paul Stuckey has been altering the musical and ethical landscape of this country and of the world for decades, both as Paul of the legendary trio Peter, Paul, and Mary, and as an independent musician who believes passionately in bringing the spiritual element into the practice of daily life. Funny, irreverently reverent, thoughtful, compassionate, Stuckey's vocal sound is known across this land from the iconic wedding song to In These Times. Peter, Paul, and Mary transformed folk music into a powerful language that soundtracked the civil rights movement, the anti-war scene, and an entire era of social change. They've won 5 Grammys and made it on the Billboard Top 10 list 6 times. Now, Peter and Paul of the legendary folk trio, Peter, Paul, and Mary, will continue celebrating over 50 years of positivity, talent, and activism with a live performance, one show only, Sunday, November 8th at 3 o'clock at the Paramount Theater, 23 East Galena Boulevard in downtown Aurora. A man whose distinctive talents and musical virtuosity not only set the standard but defined the essence of excellence in music and song that has spanned the generations. It's a distinct joy and an honor to welcome Noel Paul Stuckey. Noel, welcome to the Kevin Moore Show.
Well, thank you, Kevin. I'm blushing.
Well, I can't see you, so I don't know if you're... Well, I'm honored to have you on, having certainly enjoyed your music, and I had the opportunity and honor to have your partner, Peter Yarrow, on a few months ago. We had a delightful talk, and I was just excited to be able to talk with you.
Yeah, well, it's very nice to return to some Midwestern roots. I miss the Midwest, having lived on the East Coast for most of my life now. And I get back occasionally to Michigan, which is where I went to school and basically found my musical lineage, or began to create it with a rhythm and blues group in high school. And I get back about every year and go to a football game or still hang out with high school friends. It's amazing how those roots run so deep.
Well, you're a Michigan State Spartan, of course, very proud, I'm sure. And like you say, get to a game once in a while. And us Midwesterners, of course, stay the same. Yet we sometimes get older, I suppose, like everybody else does.
Yeah, I don't think I really understood the term affable as applied to Midwesterners for a long time into my career. But then I realized I just did things kind of differently than my partners who were New York raised did. And, you know, in retrospect, I've got, 70 plus years now in my life. I'm really thankful for that kind of open-faced, open-hearted attitude that I was brought up in between the ages of 11 and 20.
Well, my youngest guy, he lived in New York for about a year and a half, 2 years, something like that, after he got out of college. And Sean was his name. And I used to enjoy visiting him, but I wasn't sure I wanted to live in New York. You know, it's a little different lifestyle.
Boy, for sure. Very intense, and yet, in a very strange, cosmically unpredictable way, I re-met a girl that I had gone to high school with in the Midwest at a subway in New York.
Really?
7 million people or so.
Serendipity.
I cannot argue with, with the happenstance and with the fact that we've now been married over 52 years. We have 3 wonderful daughters.
God bless you for that.
Wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been in New York. So, there you are.
Now, I hope she's saying the same thing.
So far, so good. Yeah.
You know, I was educated by the Jesuits, and we were taught service to others, and that's certainly something that you have lived in your life and in your music, and that's why it's so gratifying to enjoy what you've done. You know, I was telling Peter when he was on the show, I have a difficult time doing 2 things. One is to read the great book, The Giving Tree, by Shel Silverstein, without crying. Because when I did it for my kids and now I do it for my grandchildren, it's tough to get through it. And the other is listening to the song which we played just before we had you on here, and that's Puff the Magic Dragon, because dragons live forever, but not so little boys and girls. And as you see these kids get older and make lives and children of their own, it's something you're proud of, but it brings a tear to your eye.
I find it difficult now, you know, with Puff, probably, I don't think anybody's counted the actual number of performances, but if it were not for other people singing Puff, I think I would be quite tired of it.
No, well, I'm not, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
You know, you live up in Maine now, of course, and you still do some, I'm sure not as extensively as you did before, the touring and so forth, but you still enjoy getting on the stage and singing the old songs, don't you, Noel?
I actually am in this, on the horns of a somewhat of a dilemma, kind of, in terms of the old material. Not that I don't recognize, number one, that I wouldn't have a platform to sing were it not for all of the amazing pieces of musical literature that the trio inherited and helped to bring to a popular music audience. But there's also, and also, you know, the feeling in the halls when Peter and I perform these songs, of the connectedness, not only one to another, but to an era that, to which, as you, I think, correctly alluded, was a soundtrack of where folk music provided the soundtrack for so much of what concerned us at the time. But as I say in my solo concerts, you know, we would not be fans of folk music if it had not turned our heads and our hearts to an awareness that something really deeply moving and emotional could connect us to the circumstance of today.
Mm-hmm.
And so to celebrate yesterday is one only one aspect of folk music's power, I think. I really enjoy bringing new material to my audience, and I usually say at the beginning of a concert, those of you that have come to hear Puff the Magic Dragon 12 other hits are going to be severely tested, because this is, to me, what folk music is all about. And then I'll do things as, well, my wife calls outrageous, as presenting two new verses to America the Beautiful, or I will do a song about the connection between the war with the Taliban and the drug problem in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, life moves on, and as my old roommate used to say in Greenwich Village, Tom Paxson, it's okay to look at the past, but you don't want to get caught staring.
But, you know, that's why I picked that little saying as I introduced you from your composition, Facets of the Jewel, and I was touched by that one line, the past is the present through which the future looks. And you would think that the future, which was what was today is the tomorrow we thought about yesterday, something like that. But that being said, you think it had been changed a little more right now, and it looks like we're revisiting some of the stuff that we went through so many years ago.
Well, that's so true, and very sobering it is. I remember Mary, who passed away, as you know, in 2009,
sure.
But when she would introduce the song, Where Have All the Flowers Gone, she would introduce it as a song that we thought we wouldn't have to sing for very long.
Because yeah.
Once we were all agreed about the ridiculousness of war and the cycle of devastation and despair that it promotes, well, then we'll all just grow up and there won't be war anymore, will there?
Yeah.
And, you know, sadly, much of those lessons need to be reiterated so that we can, at least for a brief glimmer of time, and, you know, one hopes that it's going to happen in Aurora in November when Peter and I come there, we will once again agree on the folly of human disrespect and neglect, and agree not only, you know, by that kind of invisible, mysterious moment that we share for an hour and a half, but also agree by singing together, which does a great deal to promote, you know, the togetherness of human spirit and heal it at the same time.
Well, that'll bring a lot of joy to all of us, I'm sure, that when you do come out. I'd like to hear in your own words, because I have read about it, of course, and, of course, the great hit that you hear so often, the wedding song, There Is Love at Weddings, and so forth. You know, you had written this song and you wrote it with inspiration of the Lord, and you felt that's where you got your inspiration, your melodies, and so forth. And so it didn't belong necessarily to you in as much as it belonged to all of us, and you started the Public Domain Foundation. I think that's just fascinating.
Yeah, I don't certainly don't regret it. I mean, although my wife, on occasion when budget is pinching our day-to-day, she goes, and you gave that song away.
When the tuition payments are due, you say, wait a second now.
Exactly. Yeah, you got it. And we had three daughters who went to schools. But the fact of the matter was I never felt as though I owned the song. As a matter of fact, you just tell the truth, Kevin. I was surprised maybe a week after I had sung it in its premiere performance at Peter's wedding in Wilmer, Minnesota. I was surprised that he wanted me to sing it in public, because insofar as the prayer for the song and the lyric had gone, I said, how would you, capital Y, manifest yourself at Peter's wedding? And when the answer came, I was certain that this was meant for this moment at that time, and totally blind to the sense that it might pertain to anybody else, that it might become a public acknowledgement of the mystery that joins two people together. And finally, Peter prevailed backstage. My wife is in the audience. Would you mind singing it for her? And from that point on, I became aware of the wide outreach and impact that song had. Even though the lyrics had been changed at the last minute to reflect a more common awareness of the patriarchal visage of the divine, I nonetheless was just blown away by the universal response to it and the number of people who have not only done it at their weddings, or have requested at their weddings, but the number of times I've been asked, by a complete stranger.
I would imagine that.
To come to one of the most, intimate moments of their family's life and to sing the song. So I know it had a lot of power. But to get back to your general point, I'm driving along in the car, many months after having been the vessel by which this song came into being, and I'm faced with a dilemma, because if I don't put some name in a publishing company underneath the name of the song, the monies that come in for radio play, for the sales of the record, for other people performing it, are just going to go into the pocket of some record company executive and probably manifest themselves as a new BMW in the parking lot. And that doesn't seem quite fair either. So I began, almost out of self-defense, this foundation called the Public Domain Foundation. And, Kevin, I'm sure that you've done, and your listeners have done things like this in their lives, where they've just been motivated to do some favor, to been called by some intuition to give beyond themselves in a circumstance that doesn't literally call for their help. They've just volunteered it.
Oh, sure.
They've seen a need. Well, in so far as the lyrics came by virtue of prayer, so then for the first, 6-7 years of the Public Domain Foundation, the funds that came in were dispersed to organizations in very much the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I would either receive a letter requesting funds, but more often than not, perhaps 80% of the time, I just was able to observe where there was a need, and suddenly I had this huge bankroll that I could call upon to send, anonymously, drug put cash into a basket, to send a check to a church in Alabama to fix its roof. It was truly a joy. It's so much more fun giving away money than making it.
Oh, but that's cool, Noel, to be able to do something like that.
Oh, it was. It was. And it still is, actually. Obviously the numbers have diminished considerably, because it's, more of a standard now and with a regular kind of income rather than the smash runaway hit that it was in the early 70s. But still, with my daughter running the Public Domain Foundation, we find these wonderful opportunities to support and probably a little more narrowly now in terms of support we give to musicians who are attempting to write music of social concern.
Mm-hmm.
We pretty much narrow it to that field. But it's, you know, it's very close to $2 million now that it's been dispersed.
Well, I imagine you going down the street and somebody saying, oh, there's Noel Stuckey. Maybe he'd sing this at our wedding, and they say, please come in and sing it, but you're not invited to the reception, I'm sorry.
And, you know, another interesting thing about the wedding song is the invisibility with which people hear the new lyric. Well, I mean, to them, a new lyric. You know,
yeah.
They heard it as, he is now to be among you at the calling of your hearts. And the original lyric was, I am now to be among you at the calling of your hearts, because, of course, it was a direct answer to prayers.
Right.
And I just hesitated to use that lyric at its initial singing or on the recording, because I was somewhat afraid that people were going to think I was claiming myself as the second coming. But I, as I say in concert, don't you think it's ironic now, Kevin, that one of the stumbling blocks in the spiritual community is the patriarchal concept of the divine, when actually, you know, as I'm wont to say, in matters of theology, it's wise that we remember in Christ there is no East or West, and in God there is no gender. And people go, oh, some
yeah,
slow,
right.
I think, to accept that concept. But the lyric certainly said it for me.
You might have to change the he to the she.
Well, I do that in the Irish blessing, but I wouldn't do that in the wedding. I just went back to the original lyric.
Well, everybody's looking forward, certainly, to seeing you here out in Aurora, and I wish you'd come. I know you're busy and so forth, and certainly living a life in paradise in Maine, but it'd be great to see you and Peter come out more often here into the Chicagoland area for no other reason than to see maybe a Michigan State Notre Dame game or something. I don't know.
Well, I would. I do, as I said, try to get out once a year, and for who knows? We are all of us, I think, obedient to the joys of circumstance. And when you meet somebody or a conversation with one person leads to another one, you can never tell, I might end up in a coffee house around the corner from you, you know, a year from now.
And I'll ask you to sing the wedding song, but you're not invited to the reception.
Well, I've held it pretty much to people that I know. So, you know, if I get to know you, there's a good chance. And you have a young granddaughter getting married, there's a chance I'm available.
Well, I might take you up on that, but that's a few years down the line, but I'd look forward to that. From Puff the Magic Dragon to Leaving on a Jet Plane, Peter and Paul of Peter, Paul and Mary to play their legendary folk music hits live Sunday, November 8th at Aurora's Paramount Theater. Peter, Paul, and Mary transformed folk music into a powerful language that soundtracked the civil rights movement, the anti-war scene, and an entire era of social change. They've won 5 Grammys and made it on the Billboard Top 10 list 6 times. Now, Peter and Paul, the legendary folk trio Peter, Paul, and Mary, will continue celebrating over 50 years of positivity, talent, and activism with a live performance, one show only, Sunday, November 8th, 3 at the Paramount Theater, 23 East Galena Boulevard in downtown Aurora. Join Peter and Paul for a night of gorgeous harmonies, positive messages, and hits like Puff the Magic Dragon, Where Have All the Flowers Gone, and Leaving on a Jet Plane. For tickets, ParamountAurora.com or the box office at 630-896-6666. And on the line with us right now is the iconic performer, Noel Paul Stuckey. It's just a pleasure to have you on the show here, Noel. And as I said before, from all your listeners and the fans, and thank you for sharing your unique talents with all of us.
Oh, well, thank you. I think rather than iconic, can I be referred to as laconic?
Are you laying around there? I don't know.
I like to be thought of as long, lengthy, and laid back.
Well, it's certainly thank you for taking a little time here chatting, because it's been fun, and our best to Peter. And I'd love to do this again if you so see yourself in the area or something like that, and
well,
chat a little bit.
You too. I have the feeling that this is somewhat of a new avenue for you. And you have a very comforting manner, and I really enjoyed speaking to you as well.
Well, when I have the honor of talking with people like yourself, it's very comfortable. And God bless you for all you do, and your bride also.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Noel. Noel Paul Stuckey from Peter, Paul, and Mary. A delight to have Noel on the show, and certainly a wonderful man doing wonderful things, as his partner, Peter Yarrow, who will be at the Paramount Theater on November 8th at 3 o'clock. 23 East Galena Boulevard, downtown Aurora. For tickets, 630-896-6666. No better way than to say goodbye than to play one of the great songs, Leaving on a Jet Plane. And we'll be back on The Kevin Moore Show.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. Taxi's waiting, he's blowing his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could cry. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. I'm leaving on a jet plane. I don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. There's so many times I've let you down. So many times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every place I go, I think of you. Every song I sing for you. When I come back,
one of the classics, Peter and Paul and Mary, Leaving on a Jet Plane. And we're back on The Kevin Moore Show. Big Business steps into the ring for the kids' sake. The 24th Ringside for Mercy's Sake Fight Night to raise funds to help troubled youth, Juliana and Bill Rancic to host the live auction. This October 17th, amateur boxers from leading companies will step into the ring to face off for a great cause, the children who live at Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. Now in its 24th year, the Ringside for Mercy's Sake Black Tie Gala will bring out some of Chicago's most high-profile business leaders and employees for an evening of white-collar boxing, casino-style charitable gaming, high-end live and silent auctions, fine dining, and live music and dancing. All of it to raise nearly $1 million that helps Mercy Home give abused and neglected children a safer place to live, heal, and hope. The 24th annual Ringside for Mercy's Sake will be held from 6 to midnight, Saturday, October 17th, at the downtown Chicago Marriott Magnificent Mile, 540 North Michigan. At the heart of this multifaceted event are 9 live amateur boxing bouts between employees of companies in the financial, real estate, and other industries inside a full-size ring set in the middle of the Chicago Marriott's Grand Ballroom and surrounded by more than 1,000 cheering guests. Please help us in supporting Mercy Home for Boys and Girls as they will once again be conducting their annual raffle on Saturday, October 17th, during the Ringside for Mercy's Sake Gala in Chicago. Every dollar raised from the raffle goes a long way in helping to take care of at-risk youth in the Chicagoland area. More so, Mercy Home was once again named one of the top 100 places to work in Chicago by a poll conducted by the Chicago Tribune. This has only come to be through the dedicated efforts of all involved and the life-changing miracles that occur at the home every day. Father Scott Donahue and his wonderful co-workers continue to change and inspire the lives of children every single day. And on the line with us right now is the award-winning businessman, a person sincerely dedicated in carrying on the tradition of service to others begun by the great Father Jim Close and now the legacy of Father Scott Donahue. one of the most welcoming people in Chicago and the director of development for the Mercy Home for Boys and Girls, now celebrating the 24th annual Ringside for Mercy's Sake Saturday, October 17th from 6 to midnight at the downtown Chicago Marriott Magnificent Mile, 540 North Michigan, our good pal, Mr. Mark Schmelzer. Mark, welcome back to the Kevin Moore Show.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing? It's great to be back.
Great to have you, and another reason to celebrate the 24th annual. That's terrific.
Yeah, it's been an incredible event. You know, usually when I'm talking to you, it's cold out, it's springtime,
yeah,
and we're talking
right.
about shamrocks and stuff like that. But now here we are in the most glorious season of the year, getting ready for one of the biggest nights of the year. And, you know, you really said a lot about what this event is about. But one of the things you didn't mention is your good friend, Rich Daniels, will be also playing, leading the City Lights Orchestra for the crowd for dancing and after dinner and raffles and auctions and everything else.
I'm only allowed to address him as the great Rich Daniels.
The great Rich. I forgot to say that. The great Rich Daniels, of course, will be leading the band as he does every year. And it's back year after year, but then we try to change and expand this event every year, so it does get bigger and better. It started out so small, it started out very humbly, but it's really grown into one of the most dynamic, interesting black ties. As our MC, Jim Williams from CBS2, likes to say, it's not your usual chicken dinner. It's so much more. Not only is there boxing, but, you know, people are dressed in their very best, and there's Vegas-style casino gaming, and you can win prizes that way while raising money for the home. These auctions are incredible. Not only the live auctions that Bill and Juliana, our good friends, will be leading, we're really excited about, but, you know, a lot of our silent auctions are incredible as well. And your listeners, even if they can't come to the event, although I hope that they do, will have the opportunity to bid on auction items, whether that's the live or the silent auction, on our website the night of the event. If they go to mercyhome.org/ringside, there will be all kinds of information about how you can get your hands on some things like, for the silent auction, for example, we're going to have a Blackhawks signed hockey stick, a hockey stick from 2015.
Beautiful.
A behind-the-scenes experience at Wait, Don't Tell Me on NPR.
Which
a great show,
yeah.
Fun show, a behind-the-scenes Chicago Bulls experience, and a lot of other really great stuff. But that the live auction is exciting. We have an Indy 500 behind the scenes experience with the racing team that consists of Bobby Rahal and David Letterman, the owners of that team, and a lot of other really exciting stuff and travel packages. And as you say, one of the other fundraising components of this event is our raffle, which we've been doing every year as well, and it's a big cash raffle. The tickets are $100. But only 1,500 will be sold, so your chances, you know, aren't so bad. And you could win up to $20,000 in this raffle. And you don't have to be there to win. Again, we hope that you are, but you don't have to be there to win. You can go and get those on our website as well at mercyhome.org/ringside.
And I'll bet you, Mark, that when you have the silent auction items and the live auction items, I'll bet you people are enthusiastic to donate those to such a wonderful cause.
That's true. We've been very fortunate, and I think that we've looked around, and I think we have one of the most interesting auctions or unique auctions. We provide experiences that you kind of can't get anywhere else, and that the fact that we are given these things is because of the goodwill that I think the home has engendered in the community, and our corporate and other partners who so freely help us out in this way by giving us these incredible experiences that really do raise a lot of money. And introduce new people to the home.
Yeah, so wonderful, wonderful opportunities. And this benefit has become one of the destination benefits in Chicago. And we have a lot of benefits in Chicago, as you're well aware. And the Mercy Home for Boys and Girls benefit has been one that stands out as far and away one of the best.
Thank you. And not that many benefits are celebrating the 24th anniversary.
Right.
We'll do our big 25th, but ours is, I think it's based on the strength of how unique it is, too. There are other white-collar boxing events in recent years, but I believe we were the first. We kind of set the tone for that. And it came about as a result of not copying some other event model, but it came from two gentlemen who had experience at the home, one who lived here and went on to great success by leading the Chicago Board of Trade, and another gentleman who boxed here in our gym, in our basement gym, in Golden Gloves competition, and he went on to lead the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. And those two gentlemen had, their firms had big rivalries, and they thought, let's get together and have our employees slug it out in the ring, get out their rivalries, but also raise money for the home. So that's kind of how it started, and it also touches back on our tradition of, this was the home of the Catholic Youth Organization boxing program back in the 30s, and was also the site of a lot of Golden Gloves competitions. So it's been a great tradition. It is very unique. And then all the other elements that we keep adding every year to make it more exciting for not just, those who would enjoy the boxing, but for people of all ages. And I think that's why it's been so successful for so long.
And you have such great support from the business community and the people that are involved on the Board of Regents and so forth, great, successful businessmen from the city of Chicago. And I use Richie Daniels as a perfect example. I mean, here's a guy who's indefatigable as it relates to promoting Mercy Home for Boys and Girls, and he does a great job at it, and people just gravitate towards him and towards trying to help everyone at Mercy Home for Boys and Girls.
That's true, and he is tireless. I'll say tireless because it's easier than pronouncing indefatigable.
well, you're from St. Thomas and Ward. That's why you have a problem with that.
Yeah, I think I was out that day. Rich has been tireless in selling the raffle ticket, promoting the raffle program, a portion of this as well, as you know. He does that a lot. He does a lot of that for our, March for Kids program, too. He really, gets out there and helps us sell those Shamrock pins as well. So, yeah, Rich has been a tireless champion for us, and he rallies a lot of his friends and loved ones around this cause, and they can't help but answer the call.
Well, this is probably the last year he's going to do it, because now that he's so successful and called because of his involvement as the music director for the TV show, hit TV show Empire, he won't be able to get in touch with him anymore.
I know. He doesn't return my calls anymore. So famous.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Mercy Home for Boys and Girls, Mark. What type of children do you care for there?
Well, our kids come to us, from a variety of circumstances, and everyone is unique. But in the main, most are from poor environments, and almost all are from abusive environments or some other sort of trouble that is really getting in the way of their having a successful, a hopeful life. So our kids come from communities that are plagued by violence. Perhaps they're being harassed or recruited by gangs. They're struggling greatly in school and at home. So these are kids who just need to a safe place to live, to spend part of their teen years and learn to heal and grow and find the tools within themselves that they can then use to change the direction of their lives and build more successful lives. And they do. They go on to school. They go on to finish school. So many come to us, either struggling or having dropped out completely. But we make sure they get back to school. And all of our seniors who are here graduate. We have 100% graduation rate. We send them to schools throughout Chicago. And we raise a lot of the funds that we raise. And by the way, I should say to tell your listeners, we don't take government money for what we do. We raise all of our own funds through things like Ringside, through the Ringside raffle, through the Ringside auctions, through other kinds of fundraising activities. We do all that because to raise the money, because we're 100% privately funded, and allows us to really tailor our program around the specific needs of each child. So our kids go to schools throughout Chicago, and they graduate at great rates. They go on to college, many of them, or they'll go on to some other career training that they need, and then they go on to become self-reliant, self-sufficient, and raise good and loving family of their own. And we don't close our doors on them either. Once they're gone, we our doors always open. We give them lifelong connections through our aftercare program. So this helps them. We can connect them to help getting a job, finding a place to live, even continued family therapy, whatever it is. Because we make such a big investment in their lives, and so do our donors. That we want to honor that by making sure that they always have, they can always call on us for help, and that we can keep continuing to impact their lives positively.
How old are the kids?
Well, they range from 11 to about 22.
Mm-hmm. So they can live there till they're 22.
They can. I would say that the majority around 17 or so.
Yeah.
High school age kids. This is typically when a lot of kids start hitting some of these roadblocks. There are many children in our care who have gone on to be raised by grandparents or elder. Mm-hmm. older aunts and uncles because their own parents are out of the picture for whatever reason. They're incarcerated or they're on drugs or having other great struggles. So they may have gone on to live with an older caretaker. And it gets to be a point when the child starts getting older and they start, you know, some of the pressures that happen, that occur in high school with the environment, make it a little bit too much for some of these older folks to handle anymore. So that's when they turn to us and turn to us for a solution for their kids. But.
And the kids, when they get older, are required to not only go to school, but also to work.
Yes, that's a great point. In fact, that, you know, like I said, we're really trying to build self-reliance and long-term success for these kids. So many of them have never worked before, so we're trying to instill that work ethic. But even more, we're trying to actually give them experience that they could use and build on and put into a resume. And we also teach them how to do a resume. We teach them all those job, the skills to not only hold a job, but the skills to get a job and the skills to plan their careers, their career tracks and everything else. So we expose them to a lot of career guidance and mentors who come in and talk about the different career possibilities. Some of our older kids, again, because of the great relationships we have with businesses and others, they open their doors to our kids for professional internships. So a lot of our older kids really have these life-changing experiences just by going to work every day and being around everyday working people at offices and other businesses throughout the city. And it really makes kids sort of, you know, think about what they want to do with their lives and puts them on a real career path. It's great for a kid to realize that, you know, your options in life aren't just, you know, doing nothing or becoming a super successful basketball or entertainment star. Where most of us live in the middle there.
Right.
Most of us go to work every day, and,
right.
and it takes a lot of hard work and determination. Once they see that and once we give them that experience, that, you know, they really latch on to it, and it changes every other aspect of their lives, too.
You know, as you mentioned, some of the kids, of course, have their own personal challenges, whether they're violent tendencies or attention deficit disorders or come from an abusive environment. How is your success rate? How successful have you been over the years?
I'd say about two-thirds of our kids go on to great success. Now, certainly we do have we have kids who this is not, the Mercy Home isn't necessarily
sure.
for them. It's a voluntary
right.
arrangement.
Right.
You come here, there are no locks on the doors that keep people out.
Mm-hmm.
They just keep people, or they keep people in, rather. The locks keep people out, keep our kids safe.
Yeah.
But our kids come and go every day to schools and to after-school jobs as well. So, you know, it's a trust. It's an agreement they make that they're going to try to change their lives with our help. But they have to do their part. They have to play by our rules. They have to abide by the structure that we provide that many of them haven't had and aren't used to. And some people balk at that, honestly. Some kids say, this isn't for me, I hate this, and they just, you know, they withdraw. So that's unfortunate, but one of the things that we make sure that we do, even for those, is to make sure that they are connected to some other organization that might be able to help whatever their particular challenges are. We don't want to give up on anybody. We do the same for people who never enter the home. There are people who go through our admissions department, hundreds of kids a year, really, and who don't ultimately gain admission into the home, but instead we refer them to another place that might be more specifically set up for whatever their issues, whatever issues they're having. Again, that's a service we do because we're trying to help as many kids as possible, and we can only, you know, care for so many full-time as, you know, we can only care for so many full-time, so.
You know, you mentioned the aftercare program. Of course, Mercy Home has been a pioneer in the aftercare research services and so forth. How does that impact the kids? How is that employed with the kids?
Well, aftercare really keeps them, again, not only, it helps not only the kids, but it helps their families because, you know, not all the kids in aftercare are 18 years old, 19, and going on to independent living, although many are. Some of the kids, you know, come to us when they're 15 and 16, and they're going back into the home where they came from.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make sure that environment that they go back to is a healthy one, healthier than it was when they got here, so that they can continue to be successful. So we're about healing families, too, and that's part of our mission statement. So we are working with the families. We're reaching out to them and providing family counseling and family support as well. And so aftercare helps us make sure that we can keep tabs on the kids when they're, you know, when they're gone. And it's also a voluntary program. It's something we offer every kid once they leave. We have a lifelong connection to the home. And sometimes the kids won't take us up on it right away. and say, nope, I'm good. And then years later, in their 20s or 30s or even later, they'll say they may hit a rough patch, and they can call us and come back. We're like a family.
Mm-hmm.
You had your own kid who left and felt he was really ready and independent, and then found out later life was a bit of a struggle. You'd open your doors again,
yeah.
And help them out in any way. And that's what we do. We try to treat them just like a family. So
you do see kids that feel that they're at a point, whether they're 16 or 17 or 18, and they're ready to leave Mercy Home and maybe go back to their original home or where they grew up and say, wait a second, you know, I don't have that same safe environment as they've given me, provided me at Mercy Home. I'd prefer to go back. And do you see that happen?
Now and again.
Yeah.
I think that we try to really make sure that wherever they're going back to is going to be a good environment,
yeah,
for them. So we manage that process very closely. We want to make sure, you know, sometimes it's a matter of them going to a different caretaker or a different,
mm-hmm,
relative. But again, our doors are always open to them for a variety of services that impact the entire family. And then even socially, we have events throughout the year. We have an aftercare summer picnic and a Christmas celebration that allows us to really put the call out there to all of our former youth and their families to come back. And it allows them to feel connected to the home, to know that they have an extended family here, to rely on one another and so forth. But also it allows us to start checking on some kids that we haven't seen in a while and ask how they're doing and ask them if they need help. And, you know, just give them a little card and say, hey, give us a call sometime and we'll kind of help you out. So those events are very beneficial for them in such a variety of ways, but they're very intentional, and everything that aftercare does is very intentional. They're a great staff over there, and they're incredible the way how dedicated they are to kids. And the excitement that all of my coworkers and I have when we see a former youth come in for, you know, just to talk to somebody. I saw a kid the other day that I knew when he was really small, and now he's selling he's doing stocks. And I was really happy to hear that he's doing great. Happened to see him in the lunchroom. He was here meeting with somebody. And it's always an exciting treat when one of our kids come back just to say hi, or even if they're coming back to, you know, to get some help.
Well, it's got to be supremely gratifying, Mark, to have these young people come back for these benefits or these gatherings, whether it's for the picnic in the summer or spring or it's at Christmas time, and see the success they've achieved or the hard work they've put in and what they've become and the type of people they've turned out to be.
It is. So we're always happy, and we always also rely on our alumni to come back and help us out in certain ways to maybe mentor some of the younger youth or help us kind of direct our the future of our program. I do know, for example, we have a gentleman who is in his 40s, and he's a Cook County sheriff, and he's very diligent. He never misses a day of work, and he has a perfect attendance record, and he attributes that to Mercy Home and wanting to represent Mercy Home well. But he also served as a referee in this intramural basketball tournament that we've had for 26 years now. And he does that to give back and to mentor the younger kids and to, you know, show them, you know, what it's like to be a positive adult.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, you sparked my interest here. Now, I used to fish at high school and college basketball. I wouldn't mind coming back and throwing a little time in there for you guys.
Sure.
That would be fun.
It's in the spring. It's in the winter and spring. It's called the homework, and it's a ton of fun. Our draft night. Maybe I'll take you to have you come to the draft night where the kids get selected to the teams, and there's a little backstory that goes to each kid. It's like watching ESPN, but it's a lot of fun.
I don't know if I still fit in my stripes, but That'd be a lot of fun. You know, what you do is terrific. There's an old saying, we make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. And you and people like Rich Daniels and all the great people that are part of Mercy Home for Boys and Girls reflect that. And God bless Father Scott for the great job he's doing. How's he doing? Doing well?
Doing very well. We're just, you know, he's like the rest of us, gearing up for a very, very busy weekend. Sunday we have the Chicago Marathon. We have a team of volunteers who are running, and we'll be running by our home, and we're here to support them. And we have Ringside coming up. So, and I hope that some of your listeners decide to come, or at least go online and help us out by buying auction items or raffle tickets or any of the other ways that they could get involved.
Mercy Home for Boys and Girls is a Catholic organization answering the gospel call to minister to all children and families in need. Mercy Home saves young lives by providing a safe, nurturing home, opportunity for an excellent education, and means for personal growth. supports Healing for Families, is committed to raising public awareness of youth in need and encourages support to help them, and is sustained by benefactors who believe in the miracle of God's mercy in action. This October 17th, amateur boxers from leading companies will step into the ring to face off for a great cause, the children who live at Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. Now in its 24th year, the Ringside for Mercy's Sake Black Tie Gala will bring out some of Chicago's most high-profile business leaders and employees for an evening of white-collar boxing, casino-style charitable gaming, high-end live and silent auctions, fine dining, and live music and dancing, all of it to raise nearly $1 million that helps Mercy Home give abused and neglected children a safe place to live, heal, and hope. The 24th annual Ringside for Mercy's Sake will be held from 6 to midnight, Saturday, October 17th, at the downtown Chicago Marriott Magnificent Mile, 540 North Michigan. And on the line with us right now is the Director of Development for the Mercy Home for Boys and Girls, our good pal Mark Schmelzer. Mark, a pleasure, always a pleasure to be able to talk about Mercy Home for Boys and Girls, and certainly to have you on the show, and anything we can do at any time, you know, all you have to do is call, and we're there for you.
Well, we're very grateful. I'm very personally grateful for you, to you as well. Thank you very much.
Phone number or website if people like get some information, Mark?
Sure. They can definitely go to the website, mercyhome.org. I think that's the best way, just going to mercyhome.org. And also, if you want to go specifically to learn more about Ringside, you can go to mercyhome.org/ringside.
October 17th from 6 to midnight, downtown Chicago Marriott Magnificent Mile, 540 North Michigan. It'll be a great evening. And give my best to Mr. Rich Daniels.
I will.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mark Schmelzer, the Director of Development for the Mercy Home for Boys and Girls. What a terrific guy, and certainly dedicated to the service to others, as we are all educated by the Jesuits to do. And it'll be a great evening, the 24th annual Ringside for Mercy's Sake, Saturday, October 17th from 6 to midnight at the downtown Chicago Marriott Magnificent Mile, 540 North Michigan. Or if you get a chance, give Mark a call at his business office, 312-933-9757. Make an appointment to stop down and see him and see what he does and what Mercy Home for Boys and Girls do. And you'll get that feeling to be participatory in the great mission they have to help children and families. And I certainly thank our good pal Rich Daniels for putting us in touch with things and always able to get the word out. Well, that about does it for our show today. I thank you for sharing this last hour with me and hope you, our listeners, have enjoyed this time as much as I have. I'd especially like to thank our guests, Noel Paul Stuckey from the iconic group Peter, Paul, and Mary, appearing at Aurora's Paramount Theater Sunday, November 8th at 3 o'clock, 23 East Galena Boulevard. For information, 630-896-6666. What a delight and an honor to chat with Noel Paul Stuckey. And Mark Schmelzer, the Director of Development for the Mercy Home for Boys and Girls, now celebrating the 24th annual Ringside for Mercy's Sake, Saturday, October 17th from 6 to midnight at the downtown Chicago Marriott Magnificent Mile, 540 North Michigan. For information, 312-738-7551. Finally, a famous writer once said, one ought, every day at least, to hear a little song, read a good poem, see a fine picture, and if it were possible, to speak a few reasonable words. I hope on our show today we have, at the very least, done just that, spoke a few reasonable words. At that, I'd like to wish everyone a good week. And as that British group once said, and in the end, the love that you take is equal to the love that you make. Have a great day.
And if we know we're always changing, why should it be the same? And tell me how, year after year, you're sure your heart will fall apart. It's time you hear her name. I know the way I feel for you. It's now or never. The more I love, the more that I'm afraid. in your eyes I may not see forever.